I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to part two of Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I'm joined by the gorgeous Naomi Banjo. Mate, I feel like I got so carried away chatting to you about your lovely life and your gorgeous babies and motherhood and everything that I didn't start at the start. Now, obviously, you and Jordan have been together 8 years now, but yeah. I remember when I had him on the podcast and he told me the story about how you've met. And I feel like there's always three sides to every story, his side, your side, and the truth. So I'm interested to get your side. You guys met in Sugar Hut, is that right?
Yeah. So do you know what? I was actually working there. I was at uni and I was just doing a bit of hostessing there. So literally like bringing drinks to people's tables. Diversity came in. And do you know what? I knew who Diversity were, but I just didn't really know them individually. Like I wouldn't have known their face. And obviously in Sugar Hut at the time, we're going back like years ago, like over 10 years ago, like there was always people coming in. It was a real, like, because of TOWIE, it was huge. There was always people there. So I was a bit like, yeah. Anyway, I remember this guy staring at me the whole time. And I just used to think, what is this guy constantly staring at me for? Like, who even is he? And I was just like, and then a few days later, he tracked me down. I think it was on Twitter. And I was like, how the hell does this guy know who I am? So it was like a bit of back and forth combo. And then it didn't really go anywhere. Like, he went away, like, touring. And, you know, we didn't really, there was like a year went by and, you know, time goes on. Then we got back in touch. I think he followed me on Instagram. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, I remember this guy from before and chatted. And then, bless him, he tried to take me on a date three times. And three times I stood him up. But in the end, he was like, do you know what? Like, it's just not working. Like, you're never going to meet me. Like, everyone said, do you know what? The weirdest thing, going back, we both lived in the same tiny little town. So this little town it's called Wickford in Essex.
Yeah.
And it's tiny. Like, there's nothing there. He lived literally 2 minutes away from where I lived. And because I told him where I lived, all of his friends were like, oh my gosh, she's a catfish. How can she live in the same place as you? Like, that's not real. She's a catfish. She's not real and all of this. And he was like, no, she is. But obviously I wouldn't meet him because I was so shy and so introvert. And I'd never been on a date. So I was totally like.
So you were feeding this catfish image. Like, yeah. She doesn't exist.
He was like, yeah, she's not real. And then anyway, he was like, listen, it's not working. Obviously you're never going to meet me. Like, you know, it is what it is. And I was like, no. Like, cause I really liked him, but I was just so nervous. So then I met him and I was really shy and I just don't think I spoke. I think I just sat there like, yeah, like a mute. So he went away and was like, oh God, she hates me. But I went away like, oh my God, I love him. It's amazing. So it was like total opposites. But from the first couple, like he used to come to my place and we used to go and get milkshakes and then like he used to bring his dog and he had this hoverboard. We used to go and like obviously early 20s and that was it, inseparable. And before I knew it, I was staying over at his and then I sort of like naturally moved in as you do, like you move your stuff in and you naturally
slowly, subtly, leaving the odd thing.
We got a dog, which is Elmo, our little chubby chihuahua, which we've still got. And that was it. And obviously Cass came along and before we know it, we're 8 years deep with three kids, four dogs and our third house move. So yeah, it's just crazy.
It's mad how fucking time like catches up on you, isn't it, girl? Man.
Yeah, honestly, it's mad. It's crazy. I can't believe Cass will be six this year. Like, yeah, that's insane. That makes me feel like I'm no longer a new mum. Like, you know, when you first have a baby, you're like, oh, I'm a new mum. Like, I'm not a new mum. Like, I'm three kids deep and one's nearly six.
Oh, bless. But then, oh, they're all still really young, babe. And listen, I don't think it matters whether, like, your kids are 25 or five. Like, you're still figuring it out, fuck me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, every day I'm winging it. Like, we'll be. I'm like, we're winging it.
Just fingers crossed, hoping for the best.
Absolutely.
Based on like the little bits I've seen and stuff and your interactions on social media, it feels like you really complement each other as a couple.
Yeah, do you know what? He's literally like my best friend. Yeah. And we laugh and joke and play fight and we're just silly and stupid, like we are literal friends. But then also, like, obviously, you know, you tell him everything. I confide everything in him and there's nothing he doesn't know about me. But also, it's hard because obviously he's away pretty much all year, but because it's always been that way, I just don't think we would work anyway, like any other way. I feel like if he was here with me, God, I think he would drive him at the wall. I think he would do my absolute head in. Like, it works because we're apart and then we come back and we have something to talk about. And we, our time together is so special and so kind of like we make the most of it. And I think that's why we just click and we gel. Like, don't get me wrong, in the early years, there were times we were like, oh my God, do we even work? Like, we were so similar, but also so opposite. Like, and obviously, as I say, I had a lot of, you know, mental health issues. I didn't know I had ADHD at the time and blah, blah, blah. And at the time we used to clash so much, like, oh, it was awful. Like, it was the point where I used to think, God, do we hate each other? But we loved each other so passionately as well. Like, when we were good, we were amazing. But when we were bad, it was bad. And then we got...
Is that part of the ADHD? Because I know it.
Oh, 100%. Do you know what? It's everything. So I've actually got ADHD. I've got bipolar type 2 and personality disorder as well.
Fuck me, mate. Living with all of that undiagnosed. Obviously, I didn't know. Very confusing, yeah.
Yeah, and I was so depressed. Obviously, when you're depressed and stuff, everything makes it 10 times worse. And obviously, I find that all of my symptoms actually come out even more when I'm like hungry, tired, or need of something.
And that's so understandable.
Yeah. And you know, when you go through those things in early relationships as well, you're still figuring each other out. And obviously there's still like an element of like, not jealousy, but like, you know, I'm like, well, why are you going out? Why are you leaving me? Like a bit of insecurity and a bit
it's
of...
It's an insecurity because you don't know each other well enough.
Exactly. Yet, and I think ADHD is also a bit of like an abandonment fear as well. Like all of that comes in with it, and personality disorder. And so all these things were flying out and it was just causing a massive like... thing between me and him. And I was like, God. And then obviously once we come out the other side and I started working on myself, you know, like eating well, exercising honestly, and cutting out caffeine has been like a savior of my life. Like, they are the two things that really, really have helped me massively. And also I think just finding myself as well, like just finding who I am and having something for me has been a massive help in all of those things as well. But for me and George, we went through a really rocky patch and then we've come out the other side, and now, like, you know, he's literally my best friend. Like, I could not live without him. And he's an amazing dad. Like, I can't even tell you, like, he's the best dad. Like, he's like a big kid. Like, I come in and I'm like the no, and he's like the yes. It's like, daddy. And then he's like, okay. I'm literally like, and I'm like, I'm the boring one. He comes and he's rolling around the floor with the kids. And like, he's the best thing in the world.
So that's the dynamic. That's the good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. But we are literally like ships in the night, like passing ships. Like, sometimes I'm like, how do we even have a relationship? Like, everything is very like over the phone, FaceTime, WhatsApp, whatever it is, because he's literally very rarely here. But as I say, when he is here, it's like the most special time ever. And the kids love it. I mean, I feel like we fight for his attention quite a lot because the kids are like, daddy, daddy, daddy. But I'm also like, George, George, George. So yeah, but it's nice. It's a good balance.
No, and like, honestly, mate, everybody's got like the juggle.
Yeah.
You know, and I think everyone can relate to that.
Yeah.
So you guys, unfortunately, due to the pandemic, your wedding was postponed. Was that really frustrating? Yeah.
Do you know what? It wasn't like technically postponed as such. I guess it was because obviously we had no choice but to wait. But we got engaged in the January of 2020, and I was never in any particular rush anyway, like, and nor was Jules. Like, I was quite happy to enjoy our engagement. Like, I wasn't like, oh my God, we've got to do it now within 6 months and get ready. Like, I was happy to enjoy that year. And it just so happened, like, on our way back from, we got engaged in the Maldives, on our way back.
Like, I remember the setup.
Yeah.
What was stunning. Beautiful, it was wasn't beautiful. It?
Like, it was like a dream, like a fairy tale. But I remember when we was there was this massive outbreak of like, this weird thing that was going on in China. And we were like, oh, that's weird. We didn't think anything of it. Yeah. Came home within a week, it was in the UK. And then suddenly within months, we was in lockdown. And I was literally like, whoa. So it kind of got put on the back foot anyway, naturally, because we weren't in a rush, but also because of that as well. And then as we were coming out of lockdown, things were like, you know, becoming a bit like easier with life. We were like, should we book a date? And we were like, okay. And I think it was like 2.5 years to the day from when we got engaged. And we booked a date. And then I just, you know what? I really, really, I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed wedding planning. Like there was no stress. I found it really, like really enjoyable. I just every day, bit by bit, but like.
We're having different experiences, Naomi. Yeah, definitely.
No, really. Do you know what? Everyone has a stressful experience, but I was like, why was you stressed? Like I enjoyed it. The stress. Stressful part for me, the most stressful part was literally in the run-up. You know, when you're fine-tuning, you're like double-checking the list, making sure everyone's got their food choices, you know, the little tiny bits, like the little, like, you know, has everyone got like a little present or a card made or a this or a that? And it's like the little things. Those were the like the stressful parts because I was like panicking, like, have I missed someone? Is there this? Have I got that? Have the kids got their shoes? Have they got their flowers? Have they got this? Those are the hard parts. But the actual day itself was amazing. It was stress-free and free and chilled. The run-up to it was fine. It was just that last little month that I was a bit like, oh, God. Yeah. But other than that, it was just, I really, really enjoyed it. But then I took my time. I didn't rush. I did bit by bit. And it was just amazing.
Yeah. And look at, like, if you look at the job you've ended up doing now, you know, babe, with your events company and the organising, quite clearly you've got a bit of an aptitude for this sort of thing. Whereas me, on the other hand, like, don't get us wrong, I love to throw a fucking party, babe. Yeah. But I am disorganised. I'm already trying to do too much all the time. Yeah. So it's always I'm always stressed. I'm always last minute. So we've got a wedding planner and she's absolutely incredible.
Oh,
and,
amazing.
Like, she's taken so much of the stress and, like, I suppose... Like, for me, I just wouldn't even know where to start planning when. Yeah. She's helping with that. But you know, for me, mate, it's just the money. I'm just constantly worried about the money. And I know I shouldn't be. Yeah. I should just be saying, well, that's it. You have less guests. I just can't help it, mate. Like, every single step of the way, I'm like lying in bed thinking, am I going to be able to afford that? And is this too big? Like, am I going to be able to handle it? Like, am I going to have vendors like knocking my door down when I haven't paid? I'm getting stressed.
Yeah. Do you know what, with us? So we didn't have a wedding planner. I spoke to a couple of them and I thought, everything that you're doing, I think I can just do myself. Like the time that I'd already picked who I wanted, like florist and venue and this and that, I may as well just do it myself. So I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to do it and wing it. And to be fair, it worked out really well. And I'm not going to lie, we had a budget and it doubled, maybe even tripled. I remember telling Jude and being like, so the flowers are going to cut. And he was like, no, it's ridiculous. Who spends that much on flowers? Oh. And I was like, listen. I was like, let me text my friends. He was like, no, your friends are like you. They're going to spend that much on flowers. Your friends aren't normal. He was like, so you can't use them as like an example. He was like Googling, like, how much do people spend on flowers for weddings? Because
it's kind of the same thing.
Extortionate, like, and it really is. And I was like, yeah, but you know, like, we can do this and we can do that, and it's, you know, we can't not have flowers because, like, that's the whole point of a wedding. He's like, nay, like, he's like, this is insane. Like, I think the flowers cost the most out of everything. Like,
they
really do. And yeah, take your budget and double it because it's insane. You get carried away because obviously you want the best as well. Like, you want the best of everything. You want, and obviously for us, we had to bring in like chairs, tables, like tablecloths, everything. Like, the venue was like an empty shell. We had to fill it. So it wasn't like a package where, oh, everything's included. The only thing we got included in our package price was like the cost of the food. And even that was insane. I was like, but you know what? It's a very special day. I would never spend that amount again on a wedding, but it was beautiful, and you know, we will never do it again. And it was incredible. And we're very, very fortunate enough that we were able to do that. And yeah, you know, it was amazing. It was what we wanted. We've got a big family. There was no option to having a small wedding because there's loads of us, loads of friends.
And but even just feeding diversity, mate, would cost you a fucking fortune.
It's not even diversity. It's diversity, their wives, their children, and their families. So obviously, where we're all one big family, we know the parents. And obviously, you can't not know the parents as well, because they're like, you
it's
know,
political.
And, you know, they're part of the family. So before you know it, it's like everyone, like, you're going further and further and further out. And I'm like, right, who can we knock off? And there isn't anyone. Because you're like, well, you can't. So we had no choice but to have a big wedding. And it was amazing, and it's probably not the average normal wedding, but it was beautiful, and it was a stunning day, and it was just the nicest, most chilled day as well.
Which is all that matters, is that you loved it, you know.
Yeah, it was what we wanted to do. And as I say, we're very, 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 very lucky to be in that position to do it. And it was a beautiful day, and we hope we never have to do again. So, yeah, that's it.
We are definitely staying married because we can't afford another one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're stuck together now, that's it.
Don't blame you, girl, honestly.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I would definitely describe you, among other things, as like a sort of like mummy blogger. And I hope that's fair, like a mammy influencer.
Yeah.
Your three children, like, you've had very different experiences with the birth, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like it's really important that not only do you share like the highs and lows of those experiences, but you also talk about your preferences too. But it's not been without its fair share of backlash, has it?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Like, do you know what? It's a hard one because, as I say, with Cass, obviously everyone's perfect birth is their perfect birth in their eyes and how they perceive it. With Cass, I did hypnobirthing. I had the most amazing natural water birth and it was incredible. And it was probably my favorite experience, my preferred experience. Mimi was sitting the wrong way. So she was breech and she ended up being a very, very last minute planned C-section. And it was horrific. And I hated every part of it. And I'm not going to lie, it really, really, really affected my relationship with Mimi. Obviously, very soon after Mimi is when I got sepsis as well, like within 3 months. So you can imagine I'd gone through this awful, we were moving house right in between all of this as well. So I had Mimi about 3 days after we moved house with boxes everywhere. I went in, I had no idea what was going on. I hadn't researched anything about C-sections because I was like so busy and I didn't want to know because I was a bit in denial. I was like, no, I want to have my natural birth. They were like, you physically can't, the baby's the wrong way. We need to get it out as soon as possible. And it's got to be C-section. And I had her. I went in and it was the most clinical experience. And I was like, what the hell is going on? No one spoke to me. I was really unwell. I was really sick. I couldn't even hold her. And it really, really, really affected my bond with her. I found it awful. And I just could not. And it sounds terrible now. Obviously, I love her more than anything. She's my little baby girl. But I couldn't grasp this, like, this bond with her. And I was like, why don't I feel like I did with Cass? What's wrong with me? And obviously,
it had been traumatic, mate.
Yeah. The guilt that I felt was like, oh, it was horrific. I was beating myself up and it was in such a bad like headspace. Like, oh, I feel awful. Like, how can as a mum I feel like this? Like my precious little tiny girl, like how can I feel so detached? And I don't think having the like sepsis and being in hospital a couple of times helped because I didn't have her then either. Jules was on tour at the time and she ended up going on tour with him. So he took her with him. And obviously, you know, that altered our little bond as well. We didn't have those moments together either. And then time goes on, obviously now, you know, it's gone. I always wonder how I even felt that way. Beautiful little girl. Yet with Trey, I knew it was going to be another C-section because I was like, I've already had one. The chances of me having another natural birth are kind of low because it would have been unsafe. And if anything happened, you know, I would have been rushed. I wouldn't have got the water birth I wanted to. He was a bigger baby. Like, and I was like, do you know what? It's safer and actually easier for us to plan childcare for the other two if we just have a set date of when I'm having this baby. So that's what we did. made the decision, researched it, spoke to people, felt way more comfortable with the idea.
When you were prepared. You'd accepted it. You knew what you were getting into. It's the emergency element of it, Naomi, must be fucking horrific to get your head round.
And I even went to a different hospital because I was like, I didn't want to go back to the hospital I had me in because I didn't want this kind of like this added pressure and any feelings to come back that I had. So we went to a different hospital and it was the calmest experience. It was lovely. I got to hold him straight away. Like he was placed on me straight away. He was fine. And I went in and the whole experience was way more relaxed and chilled. Like when I had Mimi, they rushed me out within 24 hours. I wasn't even there 24 hours and I couldn't even walk. Sent me home, never felt pain like it. With Trey, they send you home with like a bottle of morphine. You have way better experience. You can stay as long as you want. And it was lovely. My experience was totally different. And I understand now where people are like, oh, I'd rather have a C-section because my experience is way nicer. Like my experiences with all three of them were just totally different. But with Trey, C-section was great. Like it was just, you know, it's just, I think it was hard as well, obviously, where I had Mimi so close with Cass. I fell pregnant with Mimi when he was only 6 months. And the guilt I felt from that, as it was anyway, I think I was in a bit of denial for the whole pregnancy. I was a little bit like, oh, this isn't happening sort of thing. Like, I'm excited, but I'm also like, you know, I felt awful on Cass. I felt like I'd taken away his first year because I was very, very unwell being pregnant. And then, I was tired. I couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And I felt like I'd taken his first year away. Then I was like, he's not going to have, you know, the first couple of years with just me. He's not going to have me to himself. Now he's got to share me and I've got to have this baby and it's going to be like shared and how am I going to split myself? And I felt so guilty all round. Then obviously she came and the feelings were different. I was like, why don't I feel the same? And it was just awful. But obviously now you come through the other side and actually having them both close together was an absolute blessing in disguise because they're the best of friends. They occupy each other. They've gone to school at similar ages. Like one went, then the other went and I sort of had my life back a little bit. Like, you know, they've been the best thing ever having them close together. It's been amazing.
And you know what, mate? Like I feel obviously no point of reference yet, but I honestly believe if you weren't a good mother and a nice person, you wouldn't have all those doubts and feelings and you wouldn't be like, oh, I'm doing it wrong. And oh, am I doing the best? But like, I think that's normal. And actually like, I don't think it will have affected Cassius at all. And he's got this gorgeous best friend and he's got a mummy and daddy who love him. So God, mate, I can't imagine how much you must have been beating yourself up. But from the outside looking in, it looks like you're doing a pretty fucking brilliant job.
I mean, if we'd had this chat like 3 years ago, I probably would have been crying and being like, oh, I can't do it. But you know what? I feel like you do. You really grow. And I feel like, obviously, I'm 32 now, literally just at 32. And I feel like a totally different person myself. And obviously, you do just grow. They just make you grow into the person you are. And the life experiences that you have and just the way they are, I just feel like they're a massive blessing. And, you know, I wouldn't be who I am without them.
Yeah, but they do. They change you as well. Like,
and they do.
I for loads of great reasons, like they make you like, you know, more selfless and responsible and all these brilliant things. But I think it's really important you remember like the things you were saying before to actually think of yourself in the situation as well. Because three kids, dogs, house, job, everything. It's a lot. Oh, mate.
Absolutely. Yeah. you've got to make time for yourself. Otherwise, like you are literally just a robot. So it is like a, it is a juggle, but you know, you make time for yourself and you do your best. And, you know, and to be fair, I think I just slot into life around me. It's not really about me. I just slot into everything around me and then just sort of make it work. And yeah.
I feel like it's really important that whatever we're doing with our lives, whether we're influencing, whether we're working in TV, whether we're working in a school, working in a hospital, whatever, that we're honest and open and we use sort of social media to be as transparent about our version of reality as we possibly can. And I think you do that really well. I think you use your platform responsibly to show like the highs and lows of life. Has sharing so much about your like experience with motherhood being difficult?
Oh yeah, do you know what, in the early stages, I would say probably through lockdown, I probably overshared because
I do that mate. I'm guilty.
Such an open person and I'm, and put it blankly, like I am pretty normal. Like I know maybe on the outside I don't seem that normal, but as a person I'm pretty normal. Like it's very rare that I wear a face of makeup. I'm lucky because Jules here and I've actually done my makeup today, but I'm a normal person. I eat the same as everyone else. Like, you know, I have stresses, I have worries. Like life still moves on for me like a normal person. Just because we're all on Instagram doesn't mean that my life is perfect, as it sort of feels like it might be displayed. There are days where I sit and cry in my bed and be like, I can't do this. There's days I text Jordan and be like, oh, I fucked up today. I shouted at the kids today. I shouldn't have done that today. Like, there are days that I've got washing all over my floor where my kids leave their like underwear and all sorts all over the floor. Like, my dogs might take a poo in the house. Like, I'm a normal person. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, things are normal. And do you know what? I shared so much back in the day, and it was probably, I found Instagram for me was like a diary. It was like a healing. It was
cathartic. It's cathartic to share it. Yeah.
I was coming out, and I thought by being honest and open, in a way, it was helping me, because I felt like people could relate to me. And I was like, oh, and I think I was thriving off other people. So I was thriving, people saying, yeah, me too. Same. Good for you. Like, you know, and the more they were doing it, the more I was sharing. And I think I probably shared too much. And obviously, you're not going to please everybody. Like, there are parts of my life that isn't normal, and I might have shared those things. Now people be like, oh, like, you know, when I first ever got a nanny, for instance, I remember crying on Instagram and sharing it, and the backlash that I got. Obviously, some people were like, good for you. Other people were like, no, you're spoilt. You're this. Like, you can't cope. You're failing as a mum. You're a bad mum. You can't. And that just, I was like, oh my God. And obviously, I've had my fair share of trolling, like, you know.
We all get it.
It's been absolutely horrific. I mean, now, you know, you like whatever. You must be a very, very odd person to go out of your way to actually write things online, you know. And I understand that now. But back then, I had sleepless nights over it. It was horrific. And it came to a point where I was like, maybe I'm doing too much. Maybe I'm showing too much. And I just shut off completely. I took the kids off. I deleted everything of the kids. I didn't share anything. I was very, very, very minimal. And I found that, like, by doing that, I was then so unrelatable, like, so the opposite way. That
one extreme to the other. Yeah.
And, like, if you'd share one thing, they'd make up a whole story about you. Like, they would put two and two together and come up with 5,000. Then I'm like, no, that's not right. And obviously, you can't defend yourself. So then I'm like, okay, you've got to find a happy medium. And I feel like my whole Instagram has grown because I am a mummy blogger. I have been honest and open, and I'm a normal person. I'm not a fashion blogger that just shows my outfits and has no personality. Like, the reason my Instagram has grown is because I've been able to share and been open and honest, and it's nice to do that. So I kind of do as much as I can without kind of being too open.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm also very aware of, like, the current living situation that we live in. Like, I don't like to do too much because I feel like, oh, you know, it's in your face. It's this, it's that. Like, and that can be received negatively as well. But also I'm like, but also it is my life. Like, that is how I live. And you know, I am very fortunate, or I am this, or I am that. And it's trying to find a happy medium. And you know, it's hard. And you probably know, you've probably had the same sort of thing as well. Like, the trolling is horrific. And I've turned off my DMs, so no one can DM me. I can't. And I did it for one. Do you know what? I did it in lockdown. I was like, I'm going to turn it off for the weekend because it was really bad. Like, every other message was a horrible message. I was like, I'm doing it for the weekend and, like, just to give myself a break. And it never went back on. And then, do you know what?
I bet you've got peace of mind, have you?
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind, couldn't care less. Write what you want, say what you want. This is my life. I know I'm a good person. I'm an honest person. I'm a nice person. And I do my best, and I care a lot about people. And I show as much as I can and be honest and open and share the kids' lives as much as I can that I think is appropriate. And I hold certain things back. There's plenty that goes on behind, like, closed doors that no one knows, like everyone's lives.
Yeah. And, you know, like, people, we have obviously social media, I think, has blurred the lines about sort of what is private and what is personal and what is okay to share. But it sounds like you have gone to both extremes and found what works for you. And that's all we can do, mate. I've navigated that space as well. And I think I found that middle ground. Sometimes I do still go too far and share too much about myself. You know, and
I find it when I'm having one of those days where I'm a little bit like, maybe a bit too ADHD, and I'm a bit like, blah, 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 and then I share, like, and I'm like, oh my God, now my story's like 30 little dots long and I've shared too much and I've probably said things.
I'm crazy.
Excuse me. And I've just gone a bit like crazy. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done it. And other days I'm like completely silent. I'm like, I think it just depends on my mood as well. Like, I do find that my mood, obviously, you know, time of the month, my mood fluctuates so much, and ADHD and lack of sleep and whatever has a massive impact on it as well. Like, it's very, very up and down. So there are days where I'm just silent. There's just nothing. Then other days I'm like, hi guys. But, like, you know, it's just however you're feeling that day. But I do find I probably do hold more back than I used to, like, well, definitely from back in the day, but I just tried to balance it. And I think that's just the best you can do.
It is, mate. And I'm sure people appreciate you being honest and sharing parts of your life and stuff like that. But also protect your peace, mate. And when it doesn't feel right for you, you've got every... It's your prerogative to pull back. So
Absolutely.
Well, it actually brings us really like nicely onto our secret two. So here at Vicky Patterson, the secret two, we always ask our gorgeous guests to give our lovely listeners a couple pearls of wisdom. And I actually think any young mothers struggling or any mothers of any age struggling will have taken a lot away from this, you know. But I do just want to know what your secret is for someone who's planning on having kids in the future, your secret of juggling it all, because I'm terrified and I need to know.
You know what? It generally is going back. I would say absolutely making time for yourself. Like for everything that I've learned, being a mum, you know, working and this and that, making time for myself has been like the kind of the cement to everything. Like if I obviously, you know, I had to go through the really hardship to get there, but that would be my advice to everybody. Like take some time out, take some time for yourself. Don't feel guilty. You are human. You are a person and you are allowed to have like a shower on your own. You're allowed to go for a spa day. You're allowed to go have half a day out on your own or have a coffee and sit down on your own. You're allowed to do that. Like, don't feel guilty. Like if you can't make time for yourself, you can't be the best version of you. And obviously, you know, you then can't be the best like mum to your kids, your dogs, or whatever you're doing, or your work, or whatever you're doing in your life. So I would absolutely say making time for yourself is how to juggle everything.
And that's exactly it. You can't pour from an empty cup, girl. Well done. It's been so lovely talking to you, Naomi, honestly. And like,
thank you for having me.
Oh, no, my pleasure. I know, you know, I'm not a mum yet, but I do feel like you're smashing it. So.
Oh, thank you so much.
Give yourself that grace.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for being such a lovely and honest guest, mate.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been really nice. Thank you.
Well, that was the absolutely gorgeous Naomi Banjo. I absolutely loved chatting to her. I feel like she was honest, really refreshingly candid, and it was just really nice. If you love listening to Vicky Patterson The Secret 2, then please tell your mates, leave a review, do all of the lovely podcasty things. And don't forget, we are now on YouTube. So if you prefer to consume your content in a visual way, you can do that there. Have a really great week, guys. You deserve it.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.